Our world is filled with fear, whether we like it or not. There's so many things to be afraid of. And there was a survey done to work out what are the highest fear-provoking things in the world. So have a think. What do you reckon are the things that provoke the most fear? Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to count down the top six. Okay, so number six of what is very, very scary is the dark. Number five, clowns. Number four, Cronulla sharks. I mean, sharks. Always get that wrong. So the next three and two. Have you worked out where you reckon they are? Number three, serial killers. Number two, death. There's one more. What do you think it might be? What's the scariest thing you think there is? It's the police doing a U-turn as you're driving on the highway. Yeah. Yeah, and all those people who said that's true, Joy, need to look at your speeding habits. Anyway, our community is filled with fear, and there are aspects of our community that promote and provoke fear. But the question is should we fear? And why do we fear? And how does that affect us? There's a story of a kid who went up to Dad and said, Dad, what are you scared of? Are you scared of spiders? Dad said, no. Are you scared of ghosts? No. Are you scared of thunder? No, I'm not scared of thunder. Are you scared of robbers? No, I'm not scared of robbers. Then I guess that the only thing you're scared of is mummy. We have fears. We are afraid of so many different things. And some of them are warranted. But the question is, how many of them are not warranted? See, we call fear many different names. We call it worry, tension, uptight, stress, anxiety. All those things are actually a form of fear. And when we look at those things, there's so much of it in our lives and in our society. So what do we know about fear? Well, the first thing is we know it's contagious. Fear is contagious. If someone has fear around us, it gets passed on, doesn't it? I like to blame other people. But fear is contagious. When someone starts to be scared, it spreads. Fear is also limiting. That when we fear stuff, it stops us from doing what we're going to do. It stops us from being who we're going to be. Fear limits us. There's a quote that says, fear is the dark room where negatives develop. Fear is the dark room where negatives develop. If you're under 50, you have no idea what a dark room and negatives are. Ask grandma, okay? But fear is limiting. We also know that fear is draining. Fear exhausts us. It wears us out. It wears us down. Franklin Roosevelt said, so first of all, let me assert my firm belief that the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. Nameless, unreasoning, unjustified terror, which paralyzes our needed efforts to convert retreat into advance. Nothing to fear but fear itself. And the trump card, God does not want us to be afraid. Even though fear is real, fear is constantly addressed in the Bible. In Ephesians 3:32, in Christ we come before God with freedom and without fear. We can do this through our faith in Christ. So remember, what were the first words the angel said when the women went to the empty tomb of Jesus? Do not be afraid. What were the first words after Jesus spoke after he was risen from the dead? Do not be afraid. Fear not. What were the first words the disciples heard Jesus say when he met them in the room? Do not be afraid. The Bible talks over and over and over again about us not walking in fear. And yet we do. So I want to look today at three storms, three stories of storms in the Bible, and to look at what they are talking about. And the first storm is in John 6. Thank you, I'll read that one. When evening came, his disciples went down to the lake, where they got into a boat and set off across the lake to Capernaum. Now it was dark and Jesus had not yet joined them. A strong wind was blowing and the waters grew rough. When they had rowed 3 or 3.5 miles, they saw Jesus approaching in the boat, walking on the water, and they were terrified. But he said to them, "It's I, don't be afraid." Then they were willing to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the shore where they were headed. They experienced fear. Now, remember, the disciples, half of them are fishermen. Half of them have been through storms. It's normal life for them. They know when it's flat, they know when it's rough, they know what to do. They're confident in the lake, they're confident in boats. They've just rowed 3.5 miles. I would not be alive at that time, but they're proficient at rowing, they're proficient at boating. And if they're afraid, it's a proper storm. So there's this storm around them, not just a little storm, not just an itty bitty thing, nasty as storm. Possibly like Alfred. No, we won't talk about Alfred. Really nasty storm. And Jesus walked across the water for them, and they were terrified. They were terrified because of the storm. They were terrified because a ghost was walking across the water. They were terrified. And sometimes our fears are justified. Our fears are a warning system to us. They say to us, stop, have a look around, what are you doing? And with these fishermen out on the lake, they were afraid because they knew what could happen and they were afraid. We all have fears that are justified. Fear is true. And we walk through things going, there are things that can happen to us that's totally legitimate. Those fears are a thing that's built into us to help us to survive. If I had no fear, I would not be alive, I can tell you. Fear keeps me alive. Fear keeps me from speeding down the highway. Do I hear an amen, Joy? Fear helps us, but fear can overcome us as well. Fear is contagious. We said that before, but faith is also contagious. So often it's easy to talk about fear, and we don't talk about faith. We talk about the things that can bring us down and destroy us, but we don't talk about the things that can build us up. We talk about the destruction, but we don't talk about hope. And we need to turn that fear into faith. We need to be able to see what's happening around us and to be able to say, but. Because there are things in this world that we need to be aware of. We need to have fear of, and we need to do something about it. But faith is a gift from God. Faith is a present that God has given us. Paul wrote that faith is a gift from God. Peter wrote that faith is a gift from God. James wrote that faith and every other good gift comes from God. Through the Bible, it continually talks about faith being a gift that is given to us from God. And faith is trusting God. Faith is knowing that our God does good things. Faith is knowing that our God is on our side. Faith is knowing that our God is all powerful and around us. Faith is knowing that God is with us. God is present. And God has us in his hand. Faith is the promise of God. God has given us promises for the future. God has given us promises for tomorrow. And as we stand believing in the promises that God has given, that gives us faith to trust him in what we see around us. Jesus conquered fear with faith. He saw through what was around us and said, this is what we see now, but that's not the end of the story. There is so much more. Jesus lived faith, and Jesus teaches us to live faith, to step away from fear, to step away from the storm that we see, and to be able to see what can be, what will be, and what is in tomorrow. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind." The storm is there. Fear is there. But faith is also there. And faith conquers fear. The second storm is out of Mark 4. So let's read it from the back where I can see it. "That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, 'Let us go over to the other side.' Leaving the crowd behind, they took him all along, just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, 'Teacher, don't you care if we drown?'" Teacher, don't you care if we drown? Now, I don't know how you like to wake up in the morning. I'm thinking someone shaking me going, "Don't you care if we die?" is probably not a pleasant way of waking up. For those who have children, there's little things that children do that don't help you to have a good day. When your next door neighbour decides that chainsawing a tree at 6:30 in the morning is a wonderful way to start the day, I don't feel the same elation. There's ways of being woken up. And when Jesus is having a kip in the back and they wake him up saying, "Teacher, don't you care if we die?" It's not a good way of waking up. But what's that saying about the disciples? So the disciples have been around Jesus. They've seen his power. They see what they're doing. And yet, what's their response? Is their response saying, "Jesus, can you stop the storm?" No. Do they wake him up and say, "Jesus, do you know there's a storm on? We're a little concerned." No. "Jesus, don't you care if we drown?" Again, these guys are fishermen. They know the waters. They know the dangers. They see the dangers, and the dangers are overcoming them. And "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" As we follow the passage. Next click, Sarah. Saves me putting my glasses on. "He got up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, 'Quiet, be still.' And the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, 'Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?' They were terrified and they asked each other, 'Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him.'" What questions would you have had for Jesus? What questions do you think Jesus would have asked? "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" Jesus was communicating truth. He was communicating who he was, communicating of where they were at. He was also communicating, I think, the disappointment in where they are at. Saying, "Guys, you've seen who I am. You've seen what can happen. You know I love you. You know I'll do anything for you. You know I can raise the dead. You know I can control a storm. And yet you're saying, 'Don't you care if I drown?'" They missed the point. And I think we have a history of the disciples missing the point more than once. And I think the same question could be put onto us. Are we missing the point? Because when we see the fear and we go, "Jesus, don't you know what's happening around me?" Do you think Jesus, asleep in the boat, knew there was a storm? Pretty sure he did. He knew what was going on. And Jesus knows what's going on around us. We look around and going, "I've got this and this and this and this and this. It's all happening. Jesus, don't you get it?" Yeah, he gets it. Jesus, don't you know what's happening in the world with the politics and China have got bombs and they're floating around and they're causing cyclones? Apparently, not true, just saying. Don't you know all this, God? Of course he knows that. Jesus, don't you care if we drown? What's Jesus' response? Why are you so afraid? Do you have no faith? Where are we? Because we're in that same place. There's storms all around us. There's all these things happening. And we have the capacity to go, the end is nigh. We're doomed. Where's the faith in that? If we truly believe God is God, if we truly believe that God has power over the winds and the storm, if we truly believe that God heals and God raises from the dead, if we truly believe that God is real and God is waiting for us in heaven and he's made a way for us to get there, if we truly believe that, why are we afraid? Surely the power of God trumps the fears that we have in our life. Surely who Jesus is more powerful and more real than everything going around us. Does Jesus know what's going on? Absolutely. Does Jesus care if we drown? Absolutely. Is Jesus changing what we see? Absolutely. Does Jesus have an answer for our problems? Absolutely. And Jesus standing next to us at the end of the storm? Absolutely. Storm 2. Storm 3. Storm 3 is in Exodus. And don't come at me saying, it's not really a storm, Dave. Kind of is. It's storm enough. Exodus 13. On the morning of the third day, there was thunder and lightning. See? Storm. A cloud, storm, covered the mountain, and a very loud horn sounded. All the people among the tents shook with fear. Then Moses brought the people from among the tents to meet God. They stood at the base of the mountain. Mount Sinai was all in smoke because the Lord came down upon it in fire. Its smoke went up like the smoke of a stove, and the whole mountain shook. The people were in fear, rightly so. If Mount Marley did that, I would be in fear. I don't think it will, by the way, but I would be in fear. The people were in fear. It's rightly so. But what does God say? God is in that. The sound of the horn became louder and louder. Moses spoke, God answered him with thunder, and then the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai to the top of the mountain. The Lord called Moses up to the top of the mountain, and he went up. Moses went into the storm, because in the storm was God. Maybe God is in amongst our storms. Maybe we can find God if instead of running away from the storm, we walk into the storm. If we walk into where God is, walk into what we fear, walk into what causes us anxiety, to find God in the midst. Because what happens is that when we walk in fear, we're elevating the thing that we fear. If we fear something, we're saying this has all power. If I fear someone, I'm saying that person has power over me. And the more I fear, the more power I give to that object, person, thing. And I say, I can't control this. I can't do anything about this. This thing is all powerful. This thing is huge. This thing is monstrous. This is going to destroy me. And God's sitting there going, puh, that little storm. When we elevate the things that we fear, we're putting them in front of God. And God's saying, don't fear that stuff. Fear me. You want to find something to fear? Fear me. Because I can do all sorts of stuff. And that God who we fear, who can do all sorts of stuff, also loves me and cares for me and plans good things for me. So as I look at this monster of fear, God standing behind it saying, look beyond the fear. Find me. Because I am the one who is in control. I can change everything. I am God. Do you trust me? Because that's where faith is, isn't it? Faith is believing that God is God, and this fear is just a big ugly thing in front of us that makes itself bigger and uglier to manipulate us, to control us, and to destroy us. Can you imagine what the most popular verse in the Bible is? For the past 5 or 6 years, the most popular verse has been the same one. Now, it's not just me saying it's popular because, you know, I'm Dave. YouVersion is a Bible translation. It's on the phone. Phones are little black objects usually with a screen and you can make phone. Anyway, it's beside the point. YouVersion has over 400 million followers. It's got 300,000 translations of the Bible in 1,500 languages or something, 1,350 languages. The most popular verse each year for the last 5 or 6 years is Philippians 4:6. Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. People are searching for hope. People are searching for the answer to the fear and anxiety that surround us, and it's been sitting there the whole time. God says, call to me. And you know what's amazing about that? It's not written for people in our community alone. It's written for us. Because we as Christians fear stuff. We as Christians have anxiety. We have worries. We have concerns. We have things that overpower us and control us. If this is the most popular verse, then I'm going to suggest that everybody has fears and everybody has anxiety. Yeah? Even those people that pretend not to. Even those people who disguise it well. We all have anxiety. Welcome to the club. You're not alone. You're not the only one. We all have anxiety. We all have fears. And God is calling us to give them to Him, to not carry them, to not be buried by them, not to drown in them, but to be able to sit with Him and find His answers. See, anxiety imagines a threat. Fear is an awareness of a threat. There's a book called Anxious for Nothing by Max Lucado, and in it he's describing anxiety in this way. An edginess, a dread, a cold wind that won't stop howling. It's not so much a storm as the certainty that a storm is coming. Airplanes fall out of the sky, stock markets fall, terrorists terrorize. The other shoe will drop. It's a matter of time. Anxiety is low-grade fear, but anxiety and fear are cousins, not twins. Fear sees a threat. Anxiety imagines one. Anxiety can destroy us because it may not even happen. But we allow it to grow and grow and grow. A fear we can respond to, and anxiety just covers us, overwhelms us, and drowns us. According to the National Institute of Mental Health, anxiety is one of the top medical health challenges facing our culture. Over 50 million people have been diagnosed with anxiety disorders, including panic attacks, phobias, and other things. Stress-related illnesses cost businesses over $300 billion a year, and billions of dollars are spent on prescription meds. Anxiety is a significant issue with who we are, with where we are as a people. And it's in the Bible. Let's look at the characters in the Bible. Abraham, Moses, Joshua, Ruth, David, Esther, Mary, Peter, They all had anxiety. And even Jesus, in John 12, 27, says, "Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say?" The people in the Bible recognized fear. The people in the Bible had anxiety. And God is saying, fear not. Do not be afraid. Do you know fear not, or do not be afraid, is 366 times in the Bible. What does that mean? Every day, including leap year. God is saying, fear not. He says it over and over and over and over again. And we need to hear it over and over and over again. We need to realize that our focus determines our peace. What are we focused on? We prayed last week about Cyclone Alfred, and a part of that was praying for kids and the trauma that they were most probably experiencing, predominantly from media. Because we talked up, be afraid. We talked up, be concerned. We talked up, what's going to happen. We talked up, destruction and pain and grief and horribleness. Creating trauma on what is a legitimate fear, but is overwhelming as anxiety. What is our focus? What do we focus on? What do we spend our time in? If we have people around us that are full of fear, what are we going to wear? If we're constantly watching the news and just getting input about things we should fear, what are we going to wear? If we are constantly being inputted with negativity and horror and scary stuff, what are we going to wear? If we're surrounding ourselves by people of hope, people of faith, people of truth, if we're surrounding ourselves by the Word of God and prayer, what are we going to wear? There's times where we need to change our environment, to change what's around us, to change the inputs in our head and in our life. We need to be able to understand that God is a God of hope, of love, of healing, of forgiveness, of truth, of eternity. A God who is the creator and the sustainer of all life loves you. He does everything he can to show you his goodness. God is good. Our future is good. The storm will end, and we'll be able to see the grace and the mercy of a great God. I want to leave you with a quick little helping tool, perhaps. ABC, the ABC of fear. A, accept that God's love is for me. B, believe that Christ died and rose for me. And C, commit my fears and my life to Christ. I'm going to say that is really overly simple. And it's also overly true. Our God is our God. God died for me. God, Jesus came, lived life, died for me, for my sin, for my fears, for my brokenness. God has come so that I might have life, I might have healing, and I might have a future in eternity with him. 1 John 4:18. Where God's love is, there is no fear, because God's perfect love drives out fear. God's perfect love drives out fear. I want to finish off by reading Romans 8, and I'm going to read two different translations. So if you're not listening to the first one, you've got to listen to the second one, okay? Romans 8:13-17, and this is the NIV. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you receive brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are his children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. Now, I want to read that same passage in the Message. This resurrection life you receive from God is not a timid, grave-tending life. It's an adventurously expectant, greeting God with a childlike, "What's next, Papa?" God's Spirit touches our spirits and confirms who we really are. We know who He is, and we know who we are, Father and children. And we know that we're going to get what's coming to us, an unbelievable inheritance. We go through exactly what Christ goes through. If we go through the hard times with Him, then we're certainly going to go through the good times with Him. How good is that? Let's pray. Father, we see storms. We see so many storms, and we see storm after storm after storm. And Father, we acknowledge that You are our God. You are more powerful than the storms we see. You are more powerful than the storms we imagine. Father, You are a God of love, of truth, of hope, of life. You are a God of eternity. And Father, we just want to thank You that You love us. We're here because You love us. We're here because You showed that love to us. Father, what we have in our future is because of how good You are. And Father, there are things to fear. There are things in this world that are scary. But Father, You are far more powerful than that. And You are so much more love than any fear that can pull us down. God, sit with us in our fear. Sit with us in our anxiety. Father, help us to cut through the cloud and the fog that block our eyes to be able to see the truth of who You are. Father, have us the courage to stand up to that storm. And as Moses walked up the mountain in the midst of the storm, Father, help us to be able to walk through the mountain of the anxiety around us to be able to find the truth of who You are in the midst. Father, You are our God. We are Your children. We share in Your inheritance. We thank You that You've gone before us. Father, we love You. In Jesus' name, amen.